Wonderful to have you here tonight. God bless you, and welcome to Mission Conference. Let's take our hymn book and turn to page 440. Let's sing the song that Mrs. Becky was just playing a moment ago, So Send I You. I've got the wrong schedule here.
437, send the light.
437, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. 437. Let's stand together, please. 437.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And the golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine. From shore to shore, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. On the fourth now, let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light.
Go for a good week in Missions Conference. This is one of those actual nights when other preachers, that the friends of the staff and others, think that we're actually normal and have, you know, our midweek service on Wednesday night in the middle of the week. So they think we're normal for a little while. And so we can say, yeah, God bless you in your service tonight. When they say it back to us, we say, thank you. Yes, God bless you in the service tonight. It's always kind of funny. Brother Jim Lyle, I know you're indisposed there for a moment, but I'm asking if you will come and open us up in prayer tonight. We got a lot to come this week. This is just the beginning, the first night, and man, I'm excited. There's going to be a lot of things coming that you're going to enjoy and be challenged. Open your heart this week and just be prepared. Say, God, whatever it is you want to say. You don't want to put any kind of parameters on what you might want to say to me. Just be willing and open and ready and hear the burden of these folks that are going to share the gospel in so many different ways, and let God touch your heart to the burden he may have and some creative avenue that he may ask you to share the gospel in some way that you've never perhaps considered before. Whatever it is, getting the gospel out, that's what it's about this week. And to the furthest reaches, starting here with our Jerusalem. So, Brother Jim, if you'll begin us in prayer tonight, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. Changes hearts and people. And God, we thank you, Lord, for this conference that we all have tonight, tomorrow night, next night, all week. And God, I pray, Lord, that people will be fired up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lives will be changed. Souls will be saved. And Lord, may we go out of this house tonight after hearing all the good testimonies and what God has done and what he's going to do. We just thank you for your love, your mercy, your goodness, and give us the grace to go out and do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And we're delighted that you have come tonight. I want our missionaries who are here to stand, if you will, please. Right down here on the front, second row back, is Brent Maruelli, and he'll be preaching tonight, and good to have him here. And with First Bible, and you'll hear more about that. Julie Alexander, good to have her here with us tonight, going to Liberia. You'll hear all of this over and over and over, but hopefully it'll seal after a while, if you hear it enough times. I'm told you have to hear things 17 times before it really settles and you really have a hold on it. But Julie's been here before, and she's here with us this week, going under Baptist Missions of Forgotten People. And Julie, good to have you. We're going to see some pictures from her and the location she's going. We're going to be introduced to that after a while. Good to have the Haleys right here, Mike and Cindy Haley. And glad that they're here. I'm going to ask Mike, or Mike and Cindy, however you're going to do it, both to come to the platform for your testimony. And this is Marie Lee Wilson. And I've said it other than that. I thought it was three names. I thought her middle name was Lee. But it's not. It's part of her last name. It's Lee Wilson. And so this is Marie Lee Wilson. And she's going to Honduras and working with the deaf. She's a registered nurse, been in the medical field for a number of years. I tell you what, she is going. Now, Dr. Twilliger told me about this. You're going to North Carolina to do a project. Is that right? Say it just out loud. Okay, this is her opportunity to minister in this way here in the States while she's raising support to get to the field and everything like that. I asked her to do that because the offering tonight is going to go to that project, okay? How much money do you need?
$560.
Five how many?
$560.
$560, okay. So the offering tonight will go for that. And if you want to write a check, you can write a check, give money, whatever you want to do. All right, thank you, Marie. You may receive. Mike Haley and Cindy have been in Romania. He has pastored in the States. He is back, and he has worked as associate pastor with his father-in-law that you know, Randy Parker. And he's worked with him and now is working in another church, but on his way raising support to go this time to Africa, to the little country of Botswana. He'll tell you about the family of the Clarks that we support and what they're doing and how the Lord has led in his life to be there and take over that ministry. Mike, come share your testimony with us.
Thank you, Pastor. How many of you glad to be here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, it was 12 degrees in Indiana today, and there's snow flurries, and my wife and I, it was 20 degrees below zero, wind chill factor there a couple days ago, so we're glad to be anywhere. The sun's shining, and it's warm, amen? You don't think it's warm, but we think it's great. I had on my tank top today out there just, you know, enjoying every moment of it, so praise the Lord. It's good to be back here. This is almost home to us, and we sure love you folks. And love the Reynolds, and it's just been a joy to serve the Lord together through the years. We appreciated the ministry that we were able to accomplish in Romania, and you were such a part of that. And it's a joy. We always knew when we left Romania, we always knew that at some point in our lives we would be back on the mission field, kind of envisioned that being a little further down the road. But how many of us understand tonight that the Lord has a master plan? Amen. And I'm so grateful for that, and I was thrilled as we were seeking God's will. We took a year to pray about where the Lord would have us serve and to return to the foreign field. And I was studying the life of Abraham, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. And that morning, as I read that verse, very simple thought, God said, I want you to go to Botswana and I want you to work with Carl and Bonnie Clark. And that wasn't difficult. Some people talk about wrestling with it and fighting it, and that's never been our case. We just love the Lord and want to serve Him. And when God made the way clear and showed us what He wanted us to do, it was easy to surrender to that. But there is a practical side of that I'd share with you tonight as far as our testimony. And that is that many years ago, we met Carl and Bonnie Clark, whom you support. And they had just gotten home from South Africa. We're on a brief furlough. We're looking to go back to the field. And God led them back to Botswana. And when we transitioned to North Carolina to pastor our second church, we took them on, had a great relationship with them in Greenfield when we worked together with the Clarks there in our local church with Brother Parker. And God just really, in a very uncanny way, put our hearts together Cindy and I always laugh. We get along better with people that are older than us, and we always just enjoy fellowshipping with older people. And God just really gave us a great relationship with them. So when they went back to Botswana and God began to bless that ministry, one of their main prayer requests was, please pray that God would send a young couple to come and work with us. And Brother Carl had confided in me a couple of times that he was very burdened. He's 70. His wife is in her 60s. And he said, Brother Mike, I'm not going to be here forever. And he said, I definitely want to make sure that this work continues and is very founded when I'm gone. So we prayed with them for years. And I think we added up the other day, almost 5 years we prayed for that. And then that morning when God called us to Botswana and specifically called us to go and work with the Clarks, that was an easy thing to surrender to. So we're very grateful for what the Lord's given us to do. Very grateful at how once that decision was made, God has just done some incredible things to facilitate that. We are at 40% of our needed support. Lord willing, this very week, next year, we'll be leaving for the field. That's our goal. And we're excited about getting there. Let me introduce Cindy to you tonight, sweetheart, if you'll stand. She was going to join me, but she's fighting asthma. And I told her she needs to quit smoking. That would help a lot. But, you know, preachers' wives, they don't listen. So, but you pray for her this week, if you will. And we're just delighted to be here. Botswana is a small country that's almost forgotten. But there's two famous names that you'll be familiar with. One is David Livingstone. The other is Robert Moffat. And Robert Moffat, Pastor, was actually sitting on a hillside in what is now Botswana when he made the statement, in the morning sun, I can see the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. And that really gripped my heart that morning. It was kind of a neat thing. I read a devotional that morning right after God called us to Botswana about that very missionary and that very statement. And my heart is to go and to help the Clarks, but our heart together is to reach the capital city of Habaroni and then to work out into the bush and reach some of the places where nobody else is going. And we'll show you in the video later this week. We'll show you some things about the population, about the AIDS epidemic. 55 is the life expectancy in Botswana. How many of you in this room tonight are 55 or older? May I see your hands? All right. I want you to think about a country and a culture and a people and a community without the influence of that generation. And that's the people group that we'll be ministering to and reaching for Christ in Botswana. And God has just excited our heart about it because we see the Lord unfolding so many things. One of the great things I'd like to share with you tonight is we have a container of scriptures that will ship right before we leave for Botswana. We have a church in Washington State that has agreed to print, pay for the container, and ship a container of 300,000 multicolor leaflet gospel tracts. 300,000 of these, and then we'll have in addition to that, we'll have John and Romans scriptures that will show someone how to come to Christ. Those will be custom printed with a cover specific to Botswana, and the name of the church will be on the back. And we're organizing right now an effort that as soon as we get to Botswana, the people speak English. We won't be limited by having to learn a language. As soon as we get to Botswana, we're literally going to attack the capital city and try to wallpaper the capital city of 287,000 people with the gospel of Christ. How many of you think God's going to honor that and bless that? Amen. And to me, that is what missions really is all about, is just sharing the life-changing gospel of Christ with people that I've never met and you've never met, but God has a love for, and God wants us to reach them. And I'm honored tonight that God has given us the privilege to do that. Sometimes people say, how could we pray? I would ask you to pray for a couple of things. First of all, pray that God would just continue to move in the hearts of churches to be involved in missions. We're praying with another preacher right now that God would just give us a revival of missions all over our country and missions emphasis. We're also praying that God would lay upon the hearts of the churches that we've already been in to get on board and to support the work and to enable us to get to the field and be fully supported. And then most of all, we're praying that God would begin now to prepare the hearts of those people that He has for us to reach, and that we'll be able to connect with them, share the gospel with them, and see them saved. We look forward to being able to share more with you about Botswana a little later this week. But I want to leave you with this. 2 months ago in Botswana, they found the largest gem-quality stone in recorded history, 1,111 carats. How many of you ladies think that ought to be on your ring? Amen. Yeah, amen. Botswana used to be one of the poorest countries in the world. And in the last 15 years, it has become one of the fastest growing economies. It's now in the top 10 of the fastest growing economies in the world. God is doing a lot of things to facilitate the work of the gospel in this country that was kind of forgotten. But what is most important for us to realize tonight is that you can be in a middle-class African country that is enjoying some wealth and some growth and some betterment in their life. But you and I both know if they die without the gospel of Christ, they'll just die and go to hell. And folks, my heart tonight is that God would enable us to get there and begin to reach those folks for Christ. Would you pray with us that God would do that? And thank you for allowing us to be here this week. And we love you, and we're sure looking forward to spending some time with you. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, Brother Haley, he summed it up a few moments before he finished there when he said he's praying for a revival of missions. And that's what this mission conference is all about. And so let's sing that song, 434, Revive Us Again. Let's stand together as we sing it. And choir, if you'll make your way on up to the choir loft. 434.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered
when we sing that amen, don't sing amen, shout amen, okay? Throw that in there on the last verse now.
Revive us again, filling heart with Thy love, may slowly
bless you, and may be seated, and may it be so in our lives. This song the choir is about to sing, may this not be the case at Volusia County Baptist Church. May it not be the case in churches like ours across the country, that my house is full, but my fields are empty, and no one's willing to do anything. That's not the case here, but we're asking God to revive us to greater work for Him. Listen as the choir sings.
it is a field white already unto harvest. Let's stand together, if you will, and we're going to sing the chorus we've been using this week so far. People need the Lord. I want you to sing it and sing it out of your heart and think about that. My house is full. Well, I like a full house. I like it to be full. But I don't like the fields to be empty. May we fill the fields and fill the house and what we find in the fields bring into the house and all that kind of stuff. It all works together. We're just right. All right? People need the Lord. Every day they pass me by. People need the Lord.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord.
Just a moment, but I want you to greet those around you as the choir comes down and joins with you again as the instruments play. Seated, ushers, come forward. If you will, we'll receive our offering tonight. And Marie came up and told me, said, "Preacher, it was not 560, it was 540. 540, I need 540. If we get you an extra $40 or whatever, you know, it'll be okay. Extra 20, we'll give you enough money to pay your gas to go through the thing. All right? All right. Very good. I think I got some money. I do. Don't have much, but I got a little bit. Okay. But if everybody does what I do and a little bit more, we'll have enough to take care of Marie's need. Wouldn't that be good? Here you go, John. Father, I thank you for Marie. I ask you to bless her. May even this that we do tonight be an encouragement for that ministry that she has there, even here in the States before she goes to the field. I pray, Father, now that you'll bless this offering. Bless all of our missionaries. Thank you for the good testimony already and the challenging songs. And, Father, we come to the time of the preaching in just a moment, Lord. I pray our hearts will be moved and blessed and helped and encouraged to love you and follow you and serve you and tell others about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Love to tell the story. As the ladies have come, you know, this song reminds us of the day that we're going to stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and He's going to hand out rewards for faithful service. At that day, I know in my heart, I'll wish I had given Him more.
Thank you so very, very much. I appreciate it. Brother Morelli, if you will come preach to us tonight, he is with First Bible. He will tell you a little bit more about what that means and what it's all about. If not tonight, he'll have a time whenever he will give his testimony and the nature of the work that he's doing, that the Lord has called him to, and the nature of the work of First Bible, which is headed up by a fellow that has preached here as a keynote speaker of our missions conference before, a fellow by the name of Charles King. And I rejoice in Brother King's friendship and his service for the Lord through many, many, many years. And it's good to have Brother Brent here with us tonight. And I want you to pray for his wife. His wife is having some difficulties and deals with congestive heart failure and not able to come with him on this trip. But if you will, pray for her. But open your Bibles now and be ready as Brother Morelli gives us the Word of God tonight and the message he has for us.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Acts chapter number 17 in your Bibles, if you will, please. Acts chapter number 17. Thank you so much for the privilege that is mine to be here. I've been looking forward to the time now for quite some time as this was scheduled. And I go back a long time with your preacher, although he doesn't know it. But I was a student at Tennessee Temple University back in the 70s when amazing things were happening there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And your preacher came and preached in chapel, and I'd never have forgot the message. In fact, preacher, I don't know if you'll even remember, but the message title was The Value of a Soul. And you say, why would you know that for so long ago? Because I've preached it 100 times since then.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate your preacher so much and how God has used him. I bring you greetings from Brother Keene with Bearing Precious Seed and First Bible International. And on behalf of the people in Mongolia, thank you for a wonderful offering that you gave several years ago for that project. And we're happy to be able to say, as of the end of November of 2015, the very last verse in the book of the Revelation was completed in translation, and that Bible was done. And we are thrilled about that. It's the very first whole Bible that a cooperative effort of independent fundamental Baptist churches have been able to get together and produce a reliable Bible for those folks in Mongolia. We're praying for the dedication to be in April of this next year, actually this year. And so we are looking forward to what God is going to do in that. And thank you so much on behalf of those folks for what you did to be able to make that possible. All right. We represent First Bible International. I will be giving more information about that throughout the course of the week. If you're not familiar with it, it is in regards to getting the Word of God translated into the heart language of those who have never had a Bible in their language before. Would you quote this verse with me out loud? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you imagine people never hearing that verse even one time? Never been available. And yet we have a number of churches, a number of folks like you that are getting on board and helping us to make a difference in that very thing. I'll be giving you more details about that, especially on Sunday morning, and look forward to how the Lord is going to bless in that. Here in Acts chapter number 17, we're going to start right there in verse number 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. And we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in this place this night. Father, would you please help us to hear the things that you would have us to hear, and help us to see the things that you would have us to see, and help us to think the things that you would have us to think. Then, Father, when we come to a time of invitation, help us to respond in obedience as the Holy Spirit of God works in each heart individually. Lord of the harvest, would you send forth laborers into your field of service, even from this local church, even tonight? Father, would you prepare the soil of our hearts? Some might be all tangled up with the things of the day or the week or what's going on in their life. Would you untangle those things for a moment? Might be some hearts in here that's pretty hard. It's rocky. Lord, would you till that up and soften it up and make it receptive to the Word of God? Father, I pray as the soil is prepared that this preaching of the Word of God would take deep root and have quick increase. Father, would you stir hearts tonight as we begin this tremendous missions conference? And we'll be sure to give you all the glory and praise for what you're going to do, and we'll trust it by faith, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter number 17, starting right there in verse number 1. The Bible says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Paphlagonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. I like that very first word right there in chapter number 17 and verse number 1, the word now. Now is the word that we usually use when we have just completed something, and now we're going to go do something else. We just completed eating, and now we're coming into the service. You just completed work, and now you're going home to have a relaxing evening at home. Now is usually something that has something to do with what you've just come through, and now what you're going to do. Well, what happened here for them to say now is chapter 16, verse number 25, that amazing conversion of the Philippian jailer. That's a whole other message in itself, and I certainly don't want to try to preach that message tonight. But isn't it interesting that that message is dealing with the midnight hour? The midnight hour. I certainly don't know you folks. I probably don't think I know one person's name in this building with the exception of your preacher. And I don't know what you're going through, but there might be some folks in here that's in that midnight hour right now. You don't know how you're going to be able to make it through it. You don't know how you're going to get to the very next place. Or maybe you've already come through a midnight hour. But one thing is for sure, if you haven't come through one, and if you're not in one right now, you will be in a midnight hour one day. It's those midnight hours that we go through that gets us to that place where we can do greater things for the glory of God than we ever thought possible. Isn't it interesting that here the Apostle Paul and those, there's only a couple of converts at this time. There's no church. No one's going to come and help them. They're all on their own, and they have a choice of how they're going to respond to that. Not like today. Your preacher has took a tremendous stand down through the years on the authority of the precious Word of God. And though we're not experiencing a whole lot of persecution in our part of the country right now, it sure could happen. And your preacher, because of his stand, could find some time in a jail cell somewhere. But it wouldn't be quite the same, because hopefully there's some of you in here that love him enough to go at least visit him. Amen? Maybe even come up with some money to get him out of there quickly. I'm not really sure, but you know, it wouldn't be quite the same. I mean, he's all on his own. What's he going to do? Well, the Bible says there in verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas did two things. They prayed and sang praises. Notice what it says right there, congregation. They prayed and sang praises. It doesn't say they sang praises and then prayed. We have a whole lot of singing today and not a lot of praying going on. If we get a little bit more praying going on, not that I'm against, I'm all for singing, but listen, let's not let off on the praying, amen? I'm talking about getting alone with God in order that we might see something accomplished for the glory of God that maybe we have never seen accomplished before. That's what we're trying to do with First Bible International. We're trying to get the Word of God where it's never been before. And that's not going to happen unless we have some folks that will get alone with God and pray like they've never prayed before. Pray. Pray. And sing. By the way, sing praises. What happened to singing praises? What happened to those times when, remember, you'd come into Grandma's house unannounced, and Grandma's in the kitchen, and she's making biscuits and gravy and fried chicken and cornbread, and I'm getting hungry, and yeah, remember those days? But one thing that you would hear is Grandma would be in there and she'd be humming, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. The old rugged cross, victory in Jesus, power in the blood in the garden." There's not a lot of humming going on in the homes anymore for some reason. I know some of you might be saying, "Well, preacher, if you could hear me sing, you'd know why there's not much humming going on in my home." And who gave you that voice? And did he make a mistake? Absolutely not. You see, the problem is we get too concerned about the person standing in front of us or the person that's sitting behind us or the people that are flanking us on the right or on the left. And we're more concerned about what they think about what we sound like. So as a result, we just don't hardly sing at all. And then when we do sing, we try to sing something that's not really quite natural, like we're going to surprise God. God already knows what you sound like, amen? Stop trying to be someone else and just sing for the glory of God. It worked for them. They prayed and sang praises. And then they, in verse number 27, and seeing the prison doors open, not only did they pray and sing praises, but they saw God's power. Hey, we need to see more of that today. The power of Almighty God, it's everywhere around us. All you have to do is open your eyes and ask God to open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things. And it will impress you what God has done, not only in you personally, but around you. Also, they shouted the promises of God right there in verse number 31 and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Hey, church, you know what? The book is full of promises. From cover to cover, it's full of promises. We have too many people that are spending too much time trying to figure out the things that they can't figure out and not worrying about the things that you can figure out and end up doing nothing.
Listen, just get involved in the promises that you can understand, and you'll be so busy that you won't have to worry about the promises that you can't understand. Amen? Shout the promises of God that others might be able to hear and give God glory. And the last thing in verse number 33, and he took them the same hour of the night. What is that hour, church? The midnight hour, and did what? And washed their stripes and was baptized. What did they do? They strived to serve God in the midnight hour. Seems like the time when most tuck tail and run, when most quit or hide or stop, when it gets very difficult is when a lot of people just kind of lay off for a while. When it was most difficult is when they served God most. And it got them through that midnight hour. Now, we come to chapter 17 and verse number 1, and when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. Isn't it interesting that phrase, passed through? I had a missionary come through when I was pastoring. I had the privilege of pastoring for 25 years, and the last church that I pastored, we had a missionary come through, and he made this quote. I wrote it down in my Bible, and I've never forgot it. The quote is this: many missionaries miss their mission on their way to the mission field. You know that applies to all of us. Tomorrow, many of you already have your mission planned for the day. Alarm clocks are preset, lunches are pre-packed, clothes are all laid out. Everything is in order. Barring a catastrophe, nothing is going to stop you from being late. You get in your vehicle to go to your first appointed mission, and on your way to that mission, you stop at the gas station. And while you're there, right on the other side of the pump, there's somebody there that's obviously struggling. The Holy Spirit nudges you and says, you could be a blessing to that person. Give them a gospel tract. And you look around and you look at your watch and you come up with every reason not to do it. And you miss your mission on your way to your mission field. Ladies, have you seen it in the grocery store? You've been there, haven't you? You look down an aisle and there's a dear, sweet lady. She's struggling. She's doing everything she can to get the grocery shopping done. She has two kids on her hip and three in the buggy, and it is a struggle for her to get it done. You have no time restraint, and the Holy Spirit says you could really be a blessing to her. But we come up with every reason not to and miss our mission on our way to our mission field. Folks, I am 100% convinced there's no way that I or any of these missionaries that's here this week are going to ever be able to burden your heart for someone on the other side of the world if you have no burden for those that are right here in your Jerusalem. Amen. If you don't care about them, if you've got used to what you hear, if you've got used to what you see, if you've got used to what you feel, and it's all kind of numb, and you don't have much effectiveness anymore right here, how in the world can we get you to care about somebody on the other side of the world? Be very careful not to miss your mission on your way to your mission field. And verse number 2, and Paul, as his manner was. By the way, thank God for manners. And that's not no sir and yes ma'am and no thank you and yes please. It's not those kind of manners. It's what you're doing right now. It's your habits. It's Wednesday night and you're in church. Praise the Lord for that. By the way, it ought to be that if your car's in your driveway on Wednesday night, your neighbors should be dialing 911. Something's wrong. They're never home at church time. They're always in church. Someone go knock on the door, find out what's going on with them. Amen. It's your manner. It's your habits. It's a tremendous testimony in his manner. Every time he went into a new city, he went into the church house and preached the gospel. Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And look at verse number 4. Some believed. Hallelujah. I love it when someone believes when the truth is preached. What a blessing that is. Every time your pastor stands behind this sacred desk and opens this perfect book and delivers to you truth. John 17:17, thy word is truth. And someone walks out those doors or whatever doors that they walk out of here and says, yeah, it might be all right for them, but I don't believe it. You know what an amazing thing about truth is? Your opinion of it doesn't change it a bit. It's still true. Amen? Oh, wait a minute. Preacher, hold. Stop right there. I've read some of those places in the Bible. You know that place in the Old Testament where it talks about that axe head, that piece of steel that swims? Really? You believe that? Absolutely. You say, whoa, why? Because it's in the Word of God. Three men walking through a fiery furnace, coming out not even smelling like smoke, hair on their hands not even singed. Seriously? Absolutely seriously. Amen? Oh, wait a minute. A guy gets swallowed up by a great big fish. Stays in there 3 days and three nights. Seriously? Gets puked out, vomited out onto dry ground to preach revival and gets mad when God does something about it. You believe that? Yes, sir. I believe it. Because it's in the Word of God. You can mark it down, church, anytime you see something in the Word of God, and if you're doubting whether or not it's right, you're wrong every time. It's right every time. Amen? Some of them believe, but you know what's amazing? Verse number 5, but the Jews, which believe not. There's always been people that believe the truth. There's always been people that don't. There's people right now that believe it, and there's going to be people that don't. We just have to keep preaching it. We just have to be the testimonies that God wants us to be and preach the truth. And now they move to Berea. Berea is much different than those in Thessalonica. The Bible says in verse number 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they, number one, received the word. Notice, church, it says they received the word. It doesn't say they heard the word. We have a lot of hearing going on today. We have a lot of folks hearing the word of God as it's being preached today. We don't have a lot of receiving the word of God as it's being preached today. You say, well, what's the difference? You can hear the word of God and walk out through those doors and not be changed at all. But when you receive the word of God, it'll change you. Things will be different in your life. You won't be the same as you were before you received it. It'll cause you to do things that you had not been doing before. It'll cause you to pray more. It'll cause you to care more. It'll cause you to have more of a burden for those people around you when you don't just hear it, but you receive it. How did they receive it? With all readiness of mind. You know why I believe that they received the Word of God and not just heard it? They got ready. They got ready to receive it. When's the last time you got ready to receive the Word before it was preached? You say, well, how do I go about doing that? Maybe pray throughout the week that God would prepare your heart to not just hear the word as it's preached, but to receive it. Maybe do something very unusual and go to sleep earlier on Saturday night than you do other nights so you're not so tired in church on Sunday. Hello? Why is it that we stay up later on Saturday night than any other night and wonder why we can't stay awake? You wouldn't do that for Monday. You're going to sleep early because you're not going to be late and you're going to give your boss the very best that you can possibly give him. You're going to give him a rested, ready-to-work person. And yet when it comes to Sunday, if we can barely make it through, if preacher doesn't preach too long. No. They got ready. Amen? They got ready to receive the Word of God. And what's proof that they received it? And searched the Scriptures daily. Wow! What a blessing that is. You know what that means, church? That means that they took what they heard and received home and read it and studied it and applied it. You know what one of the best compliments that you can ever give your pastor is? Listen, it's okay for you to walk up to your preacher and say, preacher, that's a good message. Thank you so much for it. I needed every bit of that. I promise you, preachers love to hear those kind of things, and there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. But this would be the greatest compliment, in my opinion. walk up to the preacher and say, by the way, last week, preacher, you preached from Acts chapter number 17. And as soon as you say that to Brother Reynolds is going to go, you say, why is he going to do that? Because you remembered where he preached from last week. Amen. Some of you, where did he preach from last week? Don't answer, I know. If you don't, preacher, where did you preach from? No, don't, I know. If you don't trust a short pencil more than a long memory, you're not going to remember those places. Amen. You're not going to remember those things. But you do. You go home and you study that out. You come back to Brother Reynolds. You say, Brother Reynolds, you preached from Acts chapter 17 last week. I took that home. I've studied out that passage, and it has blessed my heart. Thank you for preaching the word. Greatest compliment? Absolutely. Not only is that a greatest compliment, he now knows you didn't just hear it, you received it. And now we move to Athens. Athens, chapter number 17 and verse number 15. Notice the Bible says, and they that conducted Paul, what's the next word in your Bible? Brought. By the way, you know what a blessing that is for a preacher to be able to do? You know what a blessing it is for a preacher to be able to say, what's the next word in your Bible, and you only hear that word? That means everybody has the same Bible. Amen. Amen. That really should get a whole lot better amen than that right there. Yeah, when you hear 10, 15 other words, it's pretty confusing, and God is not the author of confusion, and that's another message in itself. But the word is, brought him unto Athens. I think that you can go back in the back of your Bible to the missionary journey maps of the Apostle Paul. And as you look through those missionary journey maps, you are not going to find Athens was a planned stop for the Apostle Paul. The only reason he's there is because he was brought there, see it in verse 15, brought him unto Athens and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, and they departed. And so he's there waiting for his two friends to come and join him, and the Apostle Paul finds himself on a mission on his way to the mission field. And what's he going to do about it? How's he going to respond? Notice the Bible says in verse number 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. He got stirred up. What the Apostle Paul was looking at stirred him up. Wouldn't it be something if we could get our hearts stirred up right now on Wednesday night at the beginning of this missions conference for missions? Wouldn't it be something if the Holy Spirit of God would do an individual work in every heart in the building, and we all got stirred up to do something unusual for the glory of God? What stirred him up? The Bible says in verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. I imagine probably wherever he was standing, looking out over Athens, he probably saw a whole bunch of campaign posters. It probably was election time. And he saw each one of those names and found out who talked how about who and brought up what about who, and stirs us up. Makes us pretty upset. Hey, if I know anything, I know if I don't want to hear things that I don't want to hear and listen to them for a whole lot longer than I planned on listening to them, don't bring up politics to someone over 60 years of age. Don't do that. No, maybe the Apostle Paul, as he's looking out over Athens, maybe he saw these great big tall signs and they were advertising the price of gasoline. And he saw one for $1.72 a gallon. And he said, what? I paid $1.84 this morning to fill it up. What in the world? Are you one of those people? Are you one that'll drive all the way across town to save 3 cents a gallon? You'll spend more to get there than what you say. It's the principle behind the thing, amen? Makes you mad, stirs you up. That's not what he saw. He didn't see campaign posters. He didn't see the price of gasoline. But the Bible says when he saw a city wholly given to idolatry. If you study this passage out, commentaries will tell you that it was easier for the Apostle Paul to have seen an idol than a human being from the place where he was standing. Don't let your mind go too far where it enters into wickedness. But I can't even imagine what he had to see. I can't imagine what he had to hear as he heard the bleating of sheep as their throats are being slit and prepared to be thrown onto the altars of sacrifice. Or maybe the babies that are being prepared for sacrifice to their false gods. The wailing and the screaming that had to be taken place. To see all the wickedness and the dancing and the sound of the music and all that was going on. And it could have done one of two things. It could have just moved him on. Or it could stir his heart. Probably the independent fundamental Baptist probably would have said, Paul, if you think for a moment that you're going to stand up on that rock and start preaching the gospel to these people, Paul, do you think that they're going to leave what they're doing right now and come listen to you preach? Go on. Go to your next planned missionary itinerary location. They're waiting on you. There's hundreds of them there. Many people are going to be saved. People are going to surrender for full-time service. You'll get a whole lot more bang for your buck if you go to the planned place, not stay here. You're going to waste your time. Paul, move on. What do you think, church? Is that what they would tell him? But he couldn't move on. You know why he couldn't move on? His spirit was stirred up in him. When he saw a city wholly given to idolatry. You see, he wasn't used to seeing those things yet. He hadn't seen so much of that wickedness every moment of every day to where it just is common thing to see now. He hadn't got there yet. He wasn't used to hearing that kind of music before. He hadn't got to that place where it's in every place that he goes and it's surrounding him all the time and he can't get away from it. It's everywhere. He hadn't got there yet. He wasn't used to that. And it stirred him up. And it stirred him up so much that he went and preached that amazing message on Mars Hill. Wow! What a message. You know what a leading theme is in that message in Mars Hill? The gospel. He's going to stand up on and preach that incredible message, the gospel, to all these idol worshipers. You say, where is that? Look at verse number 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. You know what he's about to do, church? He's about to declare unto them the gospel. Look at it, verse number 24. God that made the world in the middle, he is Lord. Verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Verse 30 at the end. But now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because, the end of 31, he hath raised him from the dead. Sounds like the gospel to me. How about you, church? Paul, don't do it. You're wasting your time. It's going to have no effect whatsoever. Don't do it. But his spirit was moved. He couldn't get away from what God was about to do. And he preached the gospel. And what's the result? 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, What is that? I've never heard anything like that before. I'm not sure what that is that you just got done doing, but one thing I know, 32, we will hear thee again of this matter. Hallelujah. Somebody left what they were doing enough to hear the message. People ask me all the time. They say, preacher, you're wanting to get the Bible, the Word of God, into Afghanistan? Into Iran? And Iraq? You're wanting to take the Bible into China? And North Korea? Preacher, they're unreachable. No, they're not. They're not unreachable. They're unreached. Did God tell us to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Yes or no, church? Yes. Would he have ever told us to go somewhere he knew we would never be able to get to? Dr. King says, and then hold him responsible at the judgment seat of Christ because we didn't do it? That doesn't make any sense at all. So we know it can be done. And I'm testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony. Every one of these missionaries can come up and can give you testimony after testimony of they've gone into these places. They've taken it into the gypsies. They've taken it into the difficult places. And they were not greeted with, get out of here. We don't want anything to do with that. Many of them are saying, what? Tell us some more. We want to hear some more of that right there. Hey, church, it gets better. How does it get better? 34. Look at 34. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and what, church? Believe. Hallelujah. At least one, probably lawyer in his wife, left whatever that they were doing, we don't know what it was, but came and believed. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah! Somebody got saved because they preached the gospel, because they got stirred up. Maybe it would be like that lady just a few short weeks ago in Armenia. Because we had a team from First Bible International that left Milford, Ohio, and took some Bibles in the Armenian language to Armenia. And when they were going to that place of dedication of the Word of God into these people's language and to give them Bibles for the first time, they got tired and they rested underneath a shade tree. And while this team from Milford, Ohio was resting underneath the shade tree, there were some migrant workers out in the fields right there working. One of them took a break, walked across that dusty field, and sat underneath that shade tree. Now what do we have? Now we have people from Milford, Ohio with a Bible and a lady from Armenia together underneath the same shade tree at the same time. And the preacher's wife was able to take that Bible and open it and show that lady from Armenia
the gospel for the first time. She got wondrously saved. You know why? You know why? Because somewhere in churches just like this around the country, someone got stirred up enough to give so that we could get enough money to get it translated, to get it printed at Bearing Precious Seed, and then it went into churches like this in Seedline Ministry, and they took those signatures and they put their fingerprints on those Bibles and put them all together and stapled them, put covers on them, put them in a box, put those boxes in a container, and sent those Bibles where they've never been before, because someone got stirred up and people are being saved. What's the question? What will it take this week to stir you? Don't think about the person right next to you right now. You. What will it take to stir your heart? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for each person in this building right now. I pray, Father, that you'd stir us up. What a wonderful thing it would be, church, if right here tonight, right here at the very beginning, we would allow the Holy Spirit of God to stir our hearts for our Jerusalem and for the uttermost. Let's stand together, please. As we stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, if we could get someone just to start softly playing on an instrument. And while they begin to softly play, perhaps right now, without delay, you'd come. There might be somebody here in that midnight hour right now. You say, oh, God, I need to get through it. I need to get through it. Lord, help me through the midnight hour. Maybe you're going to pray more and sing praises more and see the promises more and shout the promises and serve God in the midst of it. If you're in that midnight hour, will you come right now? Come on, right now. Lord, I need to get through it. Maybe there's someone here who right now you're saying, Lord, please stir my heart for my Jerusalem. I realize that if I don't care about my neighbor, if I don't care about my family member, if I don't care about my coworker, if I don't care about those that I know and love, if I don't care that they're going to hell, how can I care about someone on the other side of the world? Would you come right now and say, Lord, stir my heart for my family member that's not saved. Stir my heart for my coworker, for my neighbor. Right now, come on. Come on, right now. Lord, stir my heart. Maybe some would say, Father, would you stir my heart for the world? Would you stir my heart for the world? Help me to do what I can to get the word where it's never been before. Help me to do my part. As some have come, would you, preacher?
What a good challenge from the Word of God to our hearts tonight. Thank you so much, Brother Morelli. I appreciate it so very, very much. You may be seated. I want to ask Ms. Alexander to come, if you will. And we're going to see some pictures from Liberia. I told him earlier tonight, I said, I hope you have your slides ready. That's what an old man calls the PowerPoint presentation, the slides. I remember, man, I used to be so impressive. They'd drop those carousels on top of that slide projector and then have the next one. And you remember this. They'd stand on the platform with a little clicker.
Absolutely.
And whenever they clicked that, the person running the slide projector would know to do that. And then they got to where they had a cable to it, and they had a little button, and they'd push that little button, and the next slide would advance. Wow, what a day we live in now. The power of the Word of God.
Yeah.
The power of the Word of God given to us tonight. And we don't doubt that power, but I'm afraid we don't incorporate it a whole lot. Afraid we don't incorporate it a whole lot. Thank you, Brent. Thank you so very, very much. I want you to pray. Pray about the ministry of First Bible. Stop by their table out there. See what they're doing. See what they're working on now. I think we gave $10,000 to the Mongolian project. I think we did that back whenever Brother Keene was here. We did that. We didn't support him, but we gave to that project. But I think he's okay. All right, Julie, God bless your heart. Going to Liberia, another African country that speaks English. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I feel I could go to either one of those places.
That's true. Thank you, Pastor Reynolds. It's just such a pleasure to be back here with you all, and just appreciate Pastor Reynolds inviting me back. And if you may recall from the last time I was here that my African name is Kema, which means bossy woman always talking. But I guess I didn't talk too much because Pastor Reynolds was kind enough to invite me back here to share my ministry with you all. And just I'm very excited to be here in a church that just obviously has such a great love for missions. And I was just thinking about what I was going to share with you all tonight. And even as we were singing the theme chorus for the program, there's a line in there that says, at the end of broken dreams, there's an open door. And that line is the testimony of my life. Because in 1990, I thought my life was over. I was standing with a handful of broken dreams. That's all I had. I was hopeless and desperate. I just didn't even know where to turn or what was going to happen. I was 26 years old. I was a single mother. I thought I was worthless and just that my life was going to be worth nothing. But I'd hired a woman to babysit my children while I took college classes, and she knew the Lord. And as a 27-year-old woman, I heard the gospel for the very first time. And in September of 1992, I was gloriously saved. And I just look back at my life, as I'm sure many of you do, and I just think, where would I have been without the Lord? How would I have raised my kids? How would I have just made it through life and just the day-to-day difficulties as a single mother, everything that came along with that? How would I have done it without the Lord? And I'm just here to tell you that if you're standing with broken dreams, that there is an open door. And I didn't know 20 years ago when I got saved the journey that the Lord was going to have for me at this point in my life, where He was going to take that terrible dark time in my life and turn it into the greatest ministry opportunity I've ever had. In February of 2012, I surrendered to God's call to Africa. And in March of 2013, He opened the door for me to travel to the country of Liberia. I traveled with a team. We were going to be ministering to orphans there. And we did that. And I fell in love with the country of Liberia and its people. And that God used that trip to just confirm in my life the call that He had put there. And I knew I was going to be returning to Liberia. But instead of the orphans, it was the women that were tugging on my heart. Because it was my job on that trip to get the stories, get pictures of the orphans and get their stories. And as I talked to the woman that ran the orphanage, I found out that most of those children weren't orphans. They were abandoned by women that are desperate and without choices. And as I met different women on that trip, I particularly remember Hawa, who was a Muslim woman. The Muslims there are very open to the gospel. They aren't antagonistic. They aren't violent. Most of them are Muslims because their parents were Muslims. They don't practice it. They've just never heard the truth. I met a woman there. She was actually the chief of her village. I said, oh, you're the chief. I said, how did you become chief? Was your father chief? She said, no. She said, you're just nice to people and give them presents and they make you chief. And I said, oh, just like in America. But I was sharing the gospel with her, and she said to me, she said, Sis Julie, if I believe what you say, I have to call my father a liar. And I said, Ben Dewey wasn't lying to you. He just didn't know the truth. And God has sent me here with the truth. And she said, if what you're saying is true, pray that God will reveal it to our hearts. They're very open. Another Muslim woman there, at the end of the week, she prayed to receive Christ. She told me she was ready to receive Christ as her Savior. And I brought her one of the Bibles that we had brought to distribute. And she told me, I can't read. And that was just like a knife stabbing me in the heart, that this beautiful, bright young woman, she couldn't read. She couldn't even read in her native language of Gola or in English. But if you think about Liberia, there was a 14-year civil war, so there's a whole generation of people that never even had the opportunity to go to school. So many, many of them can't read, and especially the women. Because of the fees that are required for them to go to school there, parents simply can't afford to send their children to school. So God used that trip to confirm what he was calling me to do, and I returned and met a national pastor there. His name is Pastor Gwanu Benda. And he was a refugee in the United States during the Civil War of Liberia, and he attended Crown College and returned to his own people as a missionary. And he's been there for, I think, about 12 years since 2002, he and his wife ministering there. And I'm going to be joining him. He is sent from Pembina Valley Baptist Church in Manitoba, Canada. And I'm going to be joining him and a team from that church, another missionary couple from Pembina, to minister there at Johnsonville, Liberia, which is right outside Monrovia, the capital city. He has planted two churches. He has two Christian schools that he offers free in the very poor communities that he's in. And he has a Bible Institute that he has started there. But in his primary church, he has 36 families, and 22 of those are women, single women with children. So I'm going to help his wife minister to those women. They're in great need of discipleship. We're trying to start a feeding program in that Christian school. The neighborhood is so poor, many of those children come to school with no guarantee that they'll get even one meal that day. They have certainly come with no breakfast and no lunch, and no guarantee that when they get home there'll be any food waiting. So I'm going to help him to administer that program and offer literacy and other training to some of the women of the community and use that as an outreach to share the gospel with them and to open their eyes to their truth and to give them the hope they need to raise their own children for the Lord. So I'm going to share a video that tells a little bit about my ministry. I thank you for your prayers. I've already had so many people tell me that you're praying for me. I can't tell you what that means to me as a missionary to know that Christians are praying for me, because I certainly need that more than anything. So just continue to pray as I bring the Father to the fatherless. Country of great tragedy. The ravages of a 20-year civil war have left Liberia with desperate spiritual and physical needs. Where industry once flourished and missionaries once served now lies an economic and spiritual void. The Liberians are rebuilding and welcoming help on every front. This provides an open door for spreading the gospel and discipling believers. Liberia has a population of 4.1 million people. 85% of them are unemployed and living in extreme poverty. The average Liberian lives on about a dollar a day. There are as many as 350,000 abandoned and orphaned children. Many of these vulnerable children are living in the streets,
unprotected, and unloved. Most adults eke out a living selling goods and daily necessities. Their earnings leave little to no room to pay the $5 to $10 a month fees so that their children might attend public schools. Because of its ties to the United States, Liberia has a Christian heritage. Most of the citizens of urban areas would consider themselves Christian, and most can speak English. These Christians are hungry for God's word and sound doctrinal teaching. However, outside the urban centers, traditional tribal, animistic, and Muslim religions are common. Liberia lies on the edge of the 1040 window, a mostly unreached area steeped in Islam. Liberia is a door to the surrounding Islamic countries, and because of the transient nature of the people, there are many opportunities for spreading the gospel beyond its borders. My name is Julie Alexander, and in February of 2012, I answered God's call to Africa. I am sent out from Grace Baptist Church of Columbus, Georgia, through Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. I was saved in September of 1992 and called to full-time Christian service in 1998. Since that time, I've been involved in women's and children's ministries. I've taught Sunday school and worked in VBS. I served in our church's bus ministry, mentoring and discipling teenage girls. God has used my life and ministry experience to equip me to minister to the abandoned children of Liberia and to the women of the surrounding communities. In April of 2013, I took a survey trip to Liberia. I went to minister to orphans, but I found that God burdened my heart for the women I met. I realized that many are widows, and many more are without hope and without resources. Children are kept out of school so they can sell goods to earn money for their family's survival. Many times, out of desperation, women abandon their children. I realize the best way to help the abandoned children of Liberia is to minister to these women who are out of options and without the Lord. With God's help and under the authority of a local church and pastor, I plan to minister to the needs of the orphan and widow through children's rescue and women's outreach ministries. I have visited and ministered at orphanages where I have taught Bible and other classes, as well as discipled young girls who are living there. I desire to work alongside these ministries, helping to improve the educational and health standards of the children. I want to love and care for children who have no one to love them. The answer for the women of Liberia is first and foremost a relationship with Jesus Christ. The women's outreach ministries will provide opportunities to build relationships with women of the community and to show them and their children the love of Christ. They will provide evangelical, discipleship, and educational opportunities, including literacy training, Bible studies, health counseling, child care, and microbusinesses. This will enable the women to build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the body of Christ in a local independent Baptist church, providing the support, strength, and grace needed to raise their own children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. On my survey trip, I found many Liberian Muslims open and receptive to the true gospel. As I serve God in Liberia, part of my goal is to reach, win, and disciple Muslims for Christ. I am seeking to help equip the next generation of Liberians to reach their own people for the Lord. Won't you partner with me to bring the Father to the fatherless?
Bringing the Father to the fatherless.
Amen.
I like that. Good, good, very good.
Amen.
Here's the deal, okay? In the offering tonight, we receive $492.33. That means we came up $47.67 short of what was needed. We ordinarily wouldn't vote on $50 in this church. But if you're in favor of giving to Marie the amount she needs for her mission in North Carolina, would you... I don't think we need to formalize it with a motion, do we? Anybody move, so move. Anybody so move that? Anybody second that motion? Anybody second that motion? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, give the money. All right. All right. So you'll leave with that check, Marie. We'll have that for you. We'll do that. Well, let's stand together. Will, I'm going to ask our missionaries to go to their tables. I want you to go back and say hi to them, meet them, get a prayer card, and ask them any question you may have for them. And then, of course, on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock is the time?
Yes,
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock Saturday evening, we'll have fellowship around the tables, around the food from many lands. And again, you'll have an opportunity to have questions for them if you would like. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. I hope you'll be back tomorrow night. Brother Haley will be preaching tomorrow night. Have slides from Marie, and I believe Brother Morelli will be giving a testimony. So be back tomorrow night if you can at all.